We're talking about this quarter, how to follow Jesus, We talked about being a disciple. A disciple is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about a disciple is, first of all, to be a learner, a student, if you please. They're also to be open, to be teachable in things of God, have an open mind, open heart, always ready to listen, ready to talk. We talked about also how a disciple has to have a servant's heart, be willing and ready to serve always. Serve the Lord. Serve one another. What a blessing it is to be able to serve in this life. And last Sunday we talked about putting Christ first in all areas of our life. Put Him first in our life, in all areas of our life. This is a daily thing we're talking about, a daily thing. A disciple puts Jesus first in all areas of his life. A true disciple does. We said also last week that in Christ being first in life, He is our Lord. And the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ is a daily submission to Him, a surrender to Him, with our life, to His authority and also to His leadership in our life as we live day by day. I'm so glad that we have one to direct us, to lead us, to teach us. That is the Holy Spirit that indwells us of the ways of Christ. And therefore, when we ask God to be the Lord of our life, He's going to do just that. It's a daily commitment, though, folks. It's a daily submission. It's a daily surrender to the Lord. This is not just a one-time thing. Lordship is a daily thing. Asking God to help us daily in our life. And it's very crucial. All our blessings, all our joys in our life as a Christian, but I always talk about the joy of Christians in our life, we see here, is totally dependent upon our submission to Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life. He has to be Lord. He wants to be Lord. You know, in Him being Lord, we see this. He's made Lord by a decision from us. We have to decide. We have to make that decision, you know. Just like being saved. Jesus is not going to save us unless we ask Him to, is He? That's the only way you get saved. You had to ask Him to. Well, likewise, the Lordship of Christ in our life, we have to make a decision. We have to make that decision. And we have to follow up upon daily commitments that we commit to Him. Daily. Daily, Lord, I want to pray. Daily, Lord, I want to read my Bible. Daily, Lord, I want to talk to somebody about the Lord. I heard on radio this past week someone about talking about witnessing. It said witnessing is a daily thing. A daily thing. Every day you're around people. Talk to people about the Lord, you know. We need to make a time to go maybe door to door. But as far as witnessing itself, is a daily thing for the believer, for the person that is a Christian. We know Lord, we talk about the Lordship of Christ. Lord in the New Testament speaks about the power over God's power over the world. Over men, over all creation. He's the Lord of all things, is He not? That He created. He's the ruler and the giver of life and the giver of death. He gives death also. He's Lord. He's Lord of all. But we see here in the New Testament, sometimes we see God there addressed as just the Lord of heaven and earth. But we see, generally speaking, Lord in the New Testament speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being the Lord. Him being the Lord, we see. So we see here, the term Lord in the New Testament is a title of honor, a title of honor when we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an expression of respect and reverence to Him as Lord. He's Lord of our life. Just like servants used to address their masters, you know, we see Lord Master as someone who belongs to somebody, the Lord Master. We belong to Jesus, do we not? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look what the Bible says here. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We see here the body is presented by the Holy Spirit, present by the Holy Spirit of God. We see here. In other words, the body itself belongs to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God that indwells us. We see here the body here is indwelt by the Spirit of God as a believer. He indwells us, our body, so to speak. The body was also purchased by the Son of God. Notice he says, verse number 20, for you are bought with a price. Who paid your price? Jesus paid your price. You are bought with a price, the Bible says. Therefore, glorify God in your what? In your body. In your body, which, and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. Our body, our spirit is God's. God in us. He has to be, you know, we need to recognize that He wants to be the Lord of our life. We need to recognize who we are, who paid a price for us. And we're thankful today to know that Jesus Christ paid our price and we are to belong to Him. We are His. Now the question is this, is He Lord of my life? Is He Lord of my life? What about the Lordship of Christ? How does this all come about? Why should Jesus Christ be Lord? Why should He be Lord? We see in the New Testament, as we look at this, you'll find the Lord applied to Jesus many times Himself. We see with His disciples, He is addressed as a teacher, as a rabbi, as master, as Lord, because He instructs them, He guides them as he presents the Word to them. We also see He's spoken of as our Lord. Why? Because He's reigning on the throne of God today. He's our Lord. Okay? We also see in other places, we see Lord identifies simply the sovereign rule. Jesus Christ is the sovereign ruler today, folks. He rules everything. He's in control. Now, let's look today at the Lordship of Christ. Why is Jesus Christ Lord? Turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Let me say up front that God the Father has exalted the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord because of many reasons, but primarily because of His resurrection and the fact today that He ascended to be back where the Father is on the right hand. He left heaven, He came to earth to be born, to live, to die, that we might be forgiven. He died, He was buried, He rose the third day, He was here for a few days, and then He went back to heaven to be with the Father. He returned back to heaven. Therefore, we find that God, the Father, has exalted Him. We see in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 5, we see some things here that I think hope will be important to us. First of all, let's look at the person of Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Look at verse number 5. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We see a sovereign, as sovereign here, Jesus Christ is the supreme example. He's the supreme example. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He didn't say the mind is in Paul or David or anybody else, but the mind who was in Christ Jesus. He's sovereign. He's sovereign today. Therefore, we see Him as a person. He is the supreme example as sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at His person. Number two, look at His person in verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We see as a son. As a son, Jesus Christ is the very nature of God. He took upon Himself flesh and became a man. But He's the very nature of God while He was here. So we see as a sovereign, He's the supreme example, the person of Christ. We see also Christ as a son, He's the very nature of God. While He was here on this earth, He was God, the very nature of God. Now look at verse number 7. Notice verse number 6, being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made Himself of no reputation, notice, and took upon Himself the form of a what? Servant. A servant, and was made in the likeness of man. We see as a servant, He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself. God coming down and becoming a man, having all the power and all the authority, He come down and He emptied Himself. We see here that He gave up the right, really, to appear and stay in heaven. He could have stayed in heaven. But he came down here for you and he came down here for me. He could have stayed in heaven also to experience the glory of heaven. He gave up that right. He came to earth. Come a man for you and I. So he emptied himself and became a man. He became a servant. A servant. Listen. All the serving we can do in our life from the time we're born till we die is nothing compared to what the servant that Jesus Christ was. We just can't compare. He served everybody. He served mankind in general. Everybody. He was your servant. He's my servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. We see here, he because of this, we also see here the passion of Christ. Look at verse number 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. We see here is the passion of Christ as our Savior. As a Savior, as a servant, as a son, as sovereign, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in person, who he is. He's person here. He's our Savior. He became a man. The Bible says in verse number 8, that he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the Christ. Some scholars say when we look at the death of Christ, we see his humility. Others say this is literally his humiliation. His humiliation that he went through when he died on the cross. Can you imagine? Can I imagine many times, paint a picture maybe in our minds, of the crucifixion of Christ? When he was walked up Calvary, they laid a cross on the ground and he laid himself down on that cross. He wasn't made, he gave his life for you and I. As he laid himself on that old cross, they took nails and put in his hands and drove him in there, and I can hear the hammers now, can't you? Beating those big old nails through his hands, through his arms, and also his feet. The agony that he went through, the pain he went through for you and I. After they nailed him on that cross, they picked up that cross and moved it over and dropped it in a hole, and I can see and just feel myself. Whenever that cross hit the bottom of that hole, the weight of his whole body, just like that, and his wounds just poured again. You know, just all the pain he went through for you and I are hanging on a cross. My, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. The weight of the cross. We see the cramps in his body. We see he was starving for water, starving for food, all of the things he went through. And even when the sun would come up, and there he was hot on the cross, sweating. All that Jesus Christ went through for you and I, folks. Listen, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. And all of that, all the torture and all the things he went through physically was terrible. But we also have the public shame of his exposure in the body that he was there. My. People coming by him, mocking him, making fun of him, laughing at him. Those that came by mocked him and made fun of him and laughed at him, those were the ones that this one on the cross came to die for, to save. My, we have a wonderful Savior, folks. Have a wonderful Savior. The humility, the humbleness of Jesus Christ. My. You know, words cannot express, folks. Words cannot express what Jesus Christ went through for you and I. There's just no vocabulary. But we see the person of Christ. We see the passion of Christ and what he did for you and I. But now let's look briefly to this morning at the position of Christ. Verses 5 through 8 tells us about the humbling of Christ. What he went through for you and I. He became a man. He humbled himself even to the death of the cross. But notice verse number 9, the first word is what? Verse 9, verse 1 is what? Wherefore? Wherefore? Because Jesus Christ went through what he went through for you and I on that cross and died for you and I, suffering all the humility that he went through and the pain and agony. Wherefore? I like that verse. Wherefore? Verse number 9. What happened? God also has highly what? Exalted him. God has exalted him. Why? Because of what he did for you and I. God has exalted him. Notice, and given him a name which is above every name. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. for his name, for him, for what he did for you and I. Because he went through all, literally hell on earth for you and I, God himself has highly exalted him. God the Father exalted his Son. He's exalted him. Christ was rewarded highly. He was highly exalted by God. First of all, he was given a name above every name. A name above every name. He was exalted. We notice that, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall what? Bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Because of Jesus Christ and what he did, God has exalted him. He's given him a name that is above every name, folks. A name that is above every name. Why, every knee will bow. First of all, because he is Lord from heaven. That's why people are going to bow. He's God from heaven. And people are going to bow to him one day. They're going to bow. We also see he is God over all. He is God over all. He's over all. This is why every knee will bow. Now, where will every knee bow? Where will every knee bow? It tells us in verse number 10. Either in heaven. The Bible says that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things where, first of all, in heaven. In heaven, that's far above all heavens. And we see also, not only that, but in things in earth, that's down here, things in earth, and things under the earth, that's in hell. We see why, wherever knee will bow, in heaven, down here, or in hell, it's going to happen one day for everybody. Everybody's going to bow because God the Father has exalted his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and given him a name that is above every name, and every knee shall bow. And acknowledge him as the Son of God. The Son of God. He's been given supreme power and authority. Verse number 10 says, in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. God has exalted him with the name of every name. God has given him, exalted him and given him extreme power and authority. Look at verse number 11. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See that word? Lord. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is he saying here? He's saying here that God has been given worship and it is Lord. He's given him worship as Lord. We see here universal confession. Every knee, listen, the Bible says that every tongue should confess. Who's that leave out? Nobody. Every tongue shall confess. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. No one's going to be left out, folks. Every tongue, we see, to the glory of the Father. That's why it's so important that we try to help people today to see their need of being saved today and confess Jesus Christ as their Savior today. Because if they don't do it here, they're going to do it in eternity. It's going to happen one day or the other. No one's going to escape the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord because God the Father has exalted him to take that position. And every knee, every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. You know, I'm so glad that God's grace has reached down in your heart, in my heart as a believer today, and helps us to understand how much Jesus loves us and the fact that Jesus died for us. One Sunday, one day, whenever it was, I don't know in your situation. My time was on Sunday morning after church. God, the Holy Spirit, God held on me and helped me to see my need to be saved. And I went down to the altar and fell on my knees and called upon the Lord to save me. I'm so glad that confession, that knee has been bowed, that confession has already been made in my life. And I know you are too as a believer. Therefore, God has highly exalted him that every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, that is Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all, folks. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been exalted. God has highly exalted him. Highly exalted him. Why? Because of what he's done for you and what he's done for me. He died for you. He died for me. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. No one's done for you what Jesus has done for you, folks. No one. No one can do for you what he's done. He's given an opportunity to be saved, to become his children. God has highly exalted him. Now, we see this in verses 9 through 11. He was highly exalted. Why? Because he was in obedience to his God the Father. He obeyed his Father. What his Father wanted him to do, he did it. He was obedient to the Father, his Father. Everything he wanted him to do, he did. He was faithful in being humble. He was a humble servant while he was here on this earth. He was faithful in being that. Therefore, God has exalted him. We see how high God has rewarded and exalted Christ. How high he has. We see he's given him a name above every name. You know something about the name of Jesus, isn't it? It's precious. It's a precious name, Jesus. Sometimes in life when trials come, testing comes, whatever maybe we have to face in this life, I can just start singing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's something about that name that brings joy to me, brings consolation to me, brings peace to me, knowing that everything's going to be okay because of Jesus. I love that name. I know you love that name. The name is above every name. And how sweet it is to be able to call that name. And know, because the Spirit of God indwells us, peace is going to come. Direction is going to come. Understanding is going to come because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, see, God has given him a name above every name. To his name, to us, this name is gracious, it's glorious to us. I'm thankful for his name. The name forgives sin. At the name of Jesus, we're forgiven of our sins. He forgives us of our sins. We also see it gives us access to God's presence, the very presence of God. Hebrews 4, verse 16 tells us this. We can approach the throne of grace boldly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Find grace to help in time of need. This is a special name. A special name. We see also God has given Christ supreme power and authority. We talked about that. He has exalted him because of what he did for you and I. He's Lord, folks. He's Lord of heaven. He's Lord of earth. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, did he not? All of it. He wants to be Lord of my life. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be. God help us to realize this today because of what God has done for him. God has given Christ supreme worship. Supreme worship. You know, as you think about it, God himself, because of what he did, offering Jesus and Jesus coming and doing what he did, God himself is going to see to it. He's going to see to it. Mark this down. He's going to see to it that every human being confesses Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He's going to see to it that it happens. Either in this life or in eternity. It's going to happen. Saved or unsaved. We all are going to confess that Jesus Christ is God. He's Lord to the glory of God. And may God help us to realize this as we see our loved ones, our families, friends around us, they too are going to confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I don't want it to be over there, do you? I want it to be here in this life. Because then it's going to be too late. Now there's still time. There is now opportunity for people to be saved, to acknowledge Jesus and who he is as Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. To the glory of God. People can choose today to regard him as Lord now and love him and serve him. But if they wait, they're going to be forced to acknowledge him, whether they want to or not. They're going to be forced to acknowledge him. Because God says that every knee and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you today prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to meet God? Have you ever bowed your knees and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to come into your heart and save you? If you haven't, I beg you to do it today. What a great day to do it on Resurrection Sunday. But if you haven't, think about it. You're going to do it one day. You're going to do it one day. And today is a day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to trust Christ as your personal Savior if you don't know Him. If you don't know Him, you see. We see some things about Christ. As God has highly exalted Him, we see, first of all, that He's always existed with God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 tells us that. He's always existed with God. He's always been with God. He's equal with God because He is God, Jesus Christ. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him. He's highly exalted Him today in which we live. We see also through God, He became a man. Though He was God, He did become a man here to fulfill God's plan for mankind. God had a plan, that is, Jesus would come and die for you and I. Therefore, He did that. He fulfilled that plan. Therefore, we have the opportunity to be saved. He became a man to identify with our sins. He became a man to identify with us and our sins that we have to face in this world. There's nothing that we face that He didn't face while He was here. Nothing. Jesus Christ, God's Son. We see He voluntarily laid down His life. He laid down the privilege of being in heaven for you and I. To come to this old wicked world and die for mankind. My, what a Savior, folks. What a Savior we see. He died on a cross for our sins. So we would have the opportunity to spend eternity with Him. And also that we will not be forced to have eternal death apart from Him. He came and died on the cross for you and I. Jesus Christ is Lord. God has exalted Him as Lord. Because of His resurrection, we worship today. I'm glad I serve a risen Savior, aren't you?
Amen.
He's in the world today. You may ask me how I know, because He lives within my heart. He's lived within my heart. I'm glad today to know that Jesus Christ is on the throne. He's Lord. He's Lord of heaven and earth. And I want Him to be Lord of my life, don't you? I want Him to be Lord of my life. I want Him to lead me and teach me and guide me in my life daily, that I might honor Him and I might glorify Him and call what He's done for me. He's redeemed us, folks. He paid the price for us. He went through all the shame for you and I. He's given us victory in life. He's given us abundant life that we may enjoy life, as Brother Alford talks about. Listen, we live in a wicked world, but thank God, greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. We can enjoy life here on this earth, as well as look forward to going to be with Jesus throughout eternity. He's given us that opportunity to be a witness, to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world. You know, as believers, Jesus Christ, God raised Him to that position of the Father's right hand. God raised His Son because of His resurrection, because of His ascension. Today He's in heaven on the right hand of God. He's not there just sitting idle. He's there making intercessions for us. When we fall, when we come short, He's there as our attorney, so to speak, making intercessions for us. And some of us keep Him busy. Some of us keep Him busy. But thank God He's on the throne. He is on the throne. Like Christ, we must serve out of love for God and others. For Him to be Lord of our life, we need to serve out of love for God and for others. For God and for others. The Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. God exalted Him above every person. He has a name above every name. He's in heaven today making intercession for you and I. But thank God something else. He's all exalted Him all to. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. You know what I'm going to talk about. Just a minute. 1 Thessalonians. He's exalted Him. He's sitting on the right hand today making intercession for you and I. Because God has placed Him there. After He come forth from the grave. Look at the Lordship of Christ in heaven today. It's going to continue. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, look at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I like these verses, folks. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We see here the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back, folks. He's coming back one day. Notice, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now, where's the Lord today? The right hand of the Father. Amen? He's exalted there. Okay? Now, this same exalted Lord is going to come back down here on this earth. Notice, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He ascended to heaven. One day he's going to descend back down to this earth from heaven. Notice, with a shout, with the voice of the archangels and with the trump of God, and with the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? We see his return. We see his resurrection of the dead here in Christ. Christ is, he's Lord, folks. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of heaven. He's Lord of earth. Everything in the earth, everything under earth, he's Lord right on. Listen, he hasn't forgotten that loved one that you know that died. He hasn't forgotten that person, folks. You may have, we may have, but God hasn't. And because Jesus Christ is Lord, he's going to come back one day in a shout, and he's going to raise your loved one first. If he's dead, they're dead. They're going to be raised first, the Bible says. And then we see what's going to happen here. The trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first, he says. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together. Man, what a glad reunion day it's going to be. Our loved ones that's gone on, died, their bodies, there's nothing in the grave now but bones probably there, but God is miraculously going to raise them up and give them a body, and he's going to unite us with them in the air, and then shall, the Bible says here, with them in the air, in the clouds, to meet them in the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a glad day that's going to be. What a happy day it's going to be. You know why this is always going to happen? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord of heaven, he's Lord of earth, and under the earth. He's Lord. And therefore, he has all power. He has all power. Listen, if he has the power to save us, don't you think he has the power to raise that one that's dead, that's going to go to heaven to be with him? He does. He has all power, folks. He has all power. And like what Paul says here, the last verse, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Listen, folks, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. One day, Jesus is going to conclude it all. He's going to come in the clouds with a shout. The Lord of heaven is going to come down to this earth, not on the earth, but come down in a cloud, and we unite all the church together. Dead in Christ first, we which will remain, and we're going to all be called up to be with him forever in the Lord. And then we're going to be with the Lord of lords. We're going to serve with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad today to know that, you know, there is someone that's in control, and it's not the president. It's Jesus Christ. He's in control of everything in this world today. And I thank God that we recognize that. We know that because of the Word of God, and God cannot lie. And one day, folks, it's going to all be over for us in this world. And we're going to live with him forever. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord, folks. Don't forget that. May the Lord help us today as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord today, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for who Jesus is. We thank you for what he's done for us. How he's made it possible, dear God, for us to know you because of his life. We can only go to you through the Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that today. Father, bless your people today. Encourage us, Lord, in the word of God, realizing, Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And one day he's coming to take us where he is, and we all shall be together. But until then, Lord, help us to realize too, Lord, that you want to be Lord of our life. You want to direct us. You want to teach us and direct us and help us, Lord, instruct us as we journey day by day, that we might submit and surrender our lives to you, to your authority, and to your leadership. God, help us, Lord, to bring honor to you today. Lord, may you bless the service now we're about to go into. May all this done be honor to you. Lord, may someone here today be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.